A special edition DVD of Blue Velvet will be released next week. We're featuring interviews with some of the people behind the film. Isabella Rossellini knows that she means different things to different people. She says, to people in their 30s and 40s, she's the star of Blue Velvet. To people 60 and over, she's the daughter of movie star Ingrid Bergman. To film scholars, she's the daughter of Italian director Roberto Rossellini. Women of different generations know her as the former model for Lancôme Cosmetics. Isabella Rossellini wrote about those different facets of her life in her memoir, Some of Me. I spoke with her in 1997 when it was published.
I want to ask you about Blue Velvet. You were so wonderful in that film.
Thank you.
You played a nightclub singer who's exotic and mesmerizing, but is in a weird and abusive relationship with a psycho played by Dennis Hopper.
Yes.
How did you get the part, and what interested you in this part?
To me, it was the only time that I could portray a battered woman and a Stockholm syndrome, where it's very hard for a victim to recognize that they're a victim. Generally, a victim feels guilty, and does anything to please the person who's torturing them. And it's an absolute strange twist that our mind gives us, and you know, it is a recognized syndrome of kidnapped people or raped victims. And I thought it was quite interesting to play that part, and that what appealed me for the role. It was a wonderful way to portray sexuality and the darkness of it. And I played a femme fatale that was femme fatale just because she was kind of beautiful and she was singing and she had the features of somebody beautiful, but yet she was completely destroyed inside. And that was a pretty good role, you know. Most of the time, the femme fatales are portrayed as women who know exactly what they want and completely. And sex is portrayed as something that you don't, that you go out there and choose for yourself. Well, we know that the reality is often we just have to, it just happens to us, and then we don't know what to do with it, what to make of it.
I'd like to play an excerpt of a scene that you had with a young man played by Kyle MacLachlan. And then in this scene, he's trying to solve the mystery of who you are and who Frank, the Dennis Hopper character, is. In this scene, you're being very seductive. You're trying to seduce him.
Do you like the way I feel?
Yes.
Feel me. Hit me.
Dorothy, no. Stop it.
Hit me. Hit me. Hit me.
Isabella Rossellini, did you understand why this character asks to be hit?
Yes, I do, because I once was beaten, and I remembered when I played that part, and I had to say that line, beat me, I said, why would this woman want to be beaten? And then I remember that the time that it happened to me that I was beaten, the first blow to my head, and you just see little stars, exactly like Donald Duck. And there was a sense of bewilderment, and you don't know where you are. But I wasn't panicked. I wasn't anything. I just was bewildered, a strange feeling. And I thought that this woman, who had so many torments in her mind, became the victim of the abuse that she, because she was raped and beaten by the character of Dennis Hopper, so that when she did get the first blow, the first punch, she would see the star, and her tormented thoughts could stop. And that's why she asked to be beaten.
Oh, what an interesting way of looking at it. Who beat you?
I don't want to give the details of all that. I don't want to start, you know, being oh, poor me. It happened, but I'm fine now.
Fine, okay. What do you do when you're shooting the scenes with Dennis Hopper, say the scenes where he's raping you and inhaling this weird in this weird gas that he inhales that turns him on? What do you do in a scene like that to break the tension?
Well, Dennis was wonderful. You know, that was the first scene I have done in the film. I just came, the film had started, I think, a week or two, and we came in, and David said, you know, we're going to start with that scene, because that scene otherwise we'll always be thinking about it, we'll always be worrying about it. So we'll do it on the first day, so we get it over with. And I couldn't believe that I had to be in front of Dennis Hopper naked and say all this weird thing. I was agonizing, and I asked, I left a little message to Dennis' room saying, can I have breakfast with you? I've never met the man, just to have to get to know him a little bit. And he came very annoyed, but that, you know, what do you want, to become friends to do that? And he was right, you know, you're acting, you don't have to be friends. But then Dennis and David were so wonderfully protective of me, and so wonderfully comical too, that they really released attention, and it was wonderful to work with them.
There's a scene in the movie where you're wandering around the street naked. Tell me about that scene and what you wanted your body to look at. It's not a vanity scene.
No, not at all. I mean, not at all. David Lynch told me that when he was a child, coming back from school, he saw a naked woman walking in the street. And instead of getting aroused or excited at that sight, he started to cry. It terrified him. And he wanted to convey the same terror. He wanted Dorothy to walk in the street of Wilmington, where we shot the film, naked, and convey the same sense of terror instead of the sense of sex appeal. And when he was talking to me, there was a photo of Nick Ott that I remembered. And it was a photo of a young girl in Vietnam. She has been a victim of Nepal attack, and her clothes have been completely torn off her body, and she has skin hanging. And she's completely naked, and she walks in the street with the arms outstretched, and it's such a helpless gesture. And I couldn't think of anything else. That is absolute helpless gesture and walking like that. If I would have walked covering my breast or covering myself, it meant that Dorothy still had some sense of pride, still had something in her to protect her. That woman had to have lost everything, and so she had to walk completely exposed, just saying, help me. And that photo is the photo. I took the gesture from that photo and used it. And I hope that I conveyed the same sense of despair. I wanted to be like raw meat. You know, my nudity, it was like raw meat, like a butcher, like walking in a butcher and see a cow hanging, you know, a quarter of a cow hanging. That was the thing that I wanted to convey.
Seems to me you really have a very analytical approach to acting. No, I mean that you really kind of think it through on many levels.
Well, I do, you know, I don't know. I can't tell. But this is the way I do it. I don't know if it is more or less analytical than others.
One of the things that I learned about from your new book, Some of Me, is that when you were young, you had scoliosis, a curvature of the spine, and yours was pretty severe.
Yes.
So you had surgery in which, 13 vertebrae were fused?
Exactly.
Do I have that right? And you were,
yes,
in a body cast for, what, about 6 months?
For about 2 years.
2 years, my goodness.
Yes, but I think the hardest part of it was the pain. The pain, everything else you could deal with. You know, I was a teenager and I was embarrassed to have a body cast. I was embarrassed to be labeled deformed, but because that's what the scoliosis is. But those all seem to be not major problem. Really, the great problem is great physical pain. That is really hard. And I don't have any solution for it. I'm glad that I'm over it.
How long did the pain last?
The pain lasts for periods, depending on the operation. And now they don't do that procedures anymore. But at the time I did my operation, they used bone from my leg to fuse my vertebra so that there would be no problem of rejection. But in order for the bone to fuse together, I had to be immobilized for 6 months, and then also had cast. The operation was very painful. The stretching and the correction of the spine, which is now done while you're asleep and with these rods, metal rods, were done instead where you awake on and they literally stretched you like the medieval torture. And that was very painful. And that pain stayed for a long time because the cast was much bigger than I. So it would pressure I had a machine in my mouth because the pressure was so strong underneath my chin and on my hips that my teeth could go back in my jaws. So I had a machine to keep my jaw separated. But still the pressure on the jaw was great. So it took days before my body gave in to that length.
I think what's so interesting about what you went through when you were young is that, you know, you, as an adult, you've been an internationally acclaimed beauty. And it must have been so odd for you to go from thinking of yourself as deformed to thinking of yourself as beautiful, or to realize other people thought of you as beautiful.
Yeah, that was kind of, it was wonderful. You know, I remember keep on sending postcards to my doctor saying, can you imagine? it was pretty wonderful to have overcome all the odds.
Was it important to you to be beautiful? Your mother was beautiful. You probably had a pretty insecure self-image when you were young because of the scoliosis and the surgery.
But not so much. You know, I think one thing is to do, I don't know, I can't really, I don't remember being young and wondering if I was beautiful or not beautiful and terribly concerned about that. I don't remember even in my old age being very concerned about it. I don't know if it is wisdom or if I'm spoiled. Maybe people did tell me, you look so pretty. So I thought, oh, well, then I don't have to worry about that. So I don't know. I don't remember it as being an obsession. When I had scoliosis, I didn't think of myself as ugly. I thought of myself as deformed, as having a deformed spine, which is different, you know, and trying to be well and trying to walk. I couldn't walk because I'd lost the ability to walk. The stake was so much higher than just look pretty.
Isabella Rossellini recorded in 1997. A special edition DVD of Blue Velvet will be released next Tuesday. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.